in your tweets, you've come up with phrases. We have a croco busting. We have a croco beggar. I think I would love to test it as well. What do you mean by those? By those?
I did not come up with a phrase croco beggar. You see, it's just people who are either ignorant or malicious. Mm. The croco beggar. If you look at the tweet that was from me, which first used that phrase, it was referring to the Milan Expo, where the croco beggar, and that's the name that was used in Milan, the croco beggar from Zimbabwe was a hit.
Thank you for the
and I even put pictures of those beggars.
Thank you.
Now the fact, when you are caught out, you don't rush, looking for exit.
No.
Because you see, you guys like you want to exit too quickly, as if you are not the one we invited to the discussion on this matter. On croco beggars. And then this issue of croco bastard, let me tell you, one of the very painful and traumatic experiences I'm having these days, and I've been having for quite some time, for over a year, but it became particularly pronounced when I lost my daughter in October last year. I have people, some trolls, some with names, the Larry Mavimas of this world, who have been sending me tweets with crocodiles either eating members of my family or eating me. They came up with stuff that my daughter was a victim of crocodiles, and that the reason she died, it was because I was playing with crocodiles. And I got very angry.
Yeah.
So when people now send me crocodiles, there is one crocodile photoshopped image that was sent of a crocodile in an upside, not that one. I'm glad you've seen that one, but it was upside down and the crocodile on top of me. And it was sent by somebody who calls themselves members of Team Lacoste and so forth. So I decided to turn it upside down. The very same thing that was sent to me.
Yes.
Of course,
there's
no one here who is just there for the taking. So I put it up right. It was up upside down. It was sent by some guy who calls himself Gutu Boy or something like
Boy.
That.
Wow.
Something like that, yeah. And then I put it up with now me on top of that crocodile. There are a lot of people there who think it's me who actually photoshopped and made that crocodile. It was one of these very provocative crocodiles that I keep getting. I can't even count how many a day. And it has done a lot of rounds. I've seen it all over the place in the social media. I did not create it. I turned
it. Yeah,
hit on social media. I turned it around to show that what you can do, others can also do. But what I wanted to say, maybe better even, but what I want to say is that there are many of these images. You are talking, you were just a moment ago referring to one where I'm inside my head with blood all over. And that one keeps being sent to me on a daily basis, you know. And now I get people, some writing editorials in the Sunday Mail, for example, like yesterday, that know there are these croc taunts and so forth. Well, I wish people could talk about something or things that they know. This croco thing has gone way, way too far. When people talk about abuse of the social media and you're saying I'm a hit and so forth,
you're a hit.
I'm a hit. Yes. But when people talk about the social media, there are two types of characters you find on the social media or who use social media, but especially on Twitter. Those who, like me, use our names and our faces and our identities, and therefore we can be held accountable for what we say, because you know who would have said it. And then there are a zillion others out there who don't have their true names. Yes. They are anonymous. And they are the ones who are abusing the social media. It is not technically possible for a person who stands by his or her identity, his name, his picture on social media to abuse it. Because if you do, you will be held accountable for the specific or particular thing that you say. Now, you know, the people who are sending crocos and abusing people and so forth, and coming out in the factionalist identities of Lacoste this, Lacoste that, are actually nameless, faceless, but they are in their hundreds. And if these do-gooders who are moralizing out there saying the social media is being abused want to be very honest, let them come up with a solution to deal with these people whose identities we don't know. Because you can say you are banning me from the social media today. Mm-hmm. If it is about messages, I will come back tomorrow as croco this, croco that, and send the same messages. And is that what you want? I'm rather amazed by that. But even more amazing, perhaps as amazing as it is annoying, is that we have in these very same newspapers that are complaining about social media in an ignorant way, you have columnists who don't go by their names and faces, like Nathaniel Maniro, who think that but just by calling, I've said on record before that this particular column called Nathaniel Maniro was created by myself, and I was the first contributor for quite a while. But not this effect. Certainly, I was not playing Shakespearean games. I was communicating and addressing public policy issues and defending the country.
All right, but if we may go back to the state media, you're on record on Twitter again saying Amchango won't do to you what he did to Amem Njuru. So are you insinuating that all the charges laid against Dr. Njuru were fabricated?
No, I'm not. Mtswanga thinks that because he came out and said Maim Juru did not shoot that helicopter, and this was addressing a legend of the struggle. Therefore, by dint of having had that kind of intervention, he can, in the current situation, have a similar intervention. It has nothing to do with the veracity or lack of it of the particular incident. And in any case, while I'm happy to do what you are doing, which is to respond to your expansion of the conversation, all this Mtswanga stuff is after that interview. It is that irresponsible interview which opened the floodgates, as it were.
Irresponsible on the part of the interviewer or the interview or of both?
Well, usually an interview is a package, isn't it?
Okay. We have some more vets who claim that you ran away from the war in order for you to go to school in the United States of America. Is that true? What really happened? Did you participate in the...
Well, this matter, I've taken it under legal advisement. And there are some aspects of it I think are going to be better handled in a court of law, save to say that this is a fiction that was created by the late Zeno, and it is shocking that some people who don't even know where Mgagawo is, some people who were busy doing other funny things in the camps where they were, think they can...
Some funny things. Like
they do all the funny things that they were doing. Ask some of the ladies who were there, they will tell you very interesting stories about how they were losing their undergarments and so forth.
All right. You have dismissed a government position on coverage of the security sector.
No, that is false.
What did you say?
Both
the Minister of Information, Media and Broadcasting Services and his permanent secretary are on record saying to the media that issues to do with security matters of this country, they are a no-go area. And you say there's nothing like that in the Constitution.
Well, but I'm not the one who needs to say that. Even you, the Constitution speaks to you, to me, to everyone.
Yes.
And if you want to argue with the Constitution...
No, I'm not arguing, I'm referring to what you say.
No, but it's not what I say. Independent of... or what is the position, regardless of what I say.
Mm-hmm.
The constitutional position exists whether I say it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for rational people, it is better to recognize the constitutional position and deal with it and not pretend that we are not aware of that position. But the point I was making there, beyond the fact that it is the law which must guide what we do and say as public officials, was that twofold. First, that statement coming from your interviewee was disappointing. I'm talking about you in the interviewee.
Right.
You know, and don't bring other people. You want to, we can talk about them separately. But your interviewee went to town with unbelievable anger in his column against the police after the arrest of two Sunday Mail journalists, including the editor of the Sunday Mail, after they published a story alleging that some senior police officers were implicated in poaching. Well, the police are a part of the security sector.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can't have double standards. You can't say because you dislike the Commissioner General, you are going to go to town and mention his position and title in a newspaper. They're not even implicated
but
the Commissioner General.
The same Commissioner General is on record saying he was worried by the way some government officials have been abusing social media.
Yeah, well, I hope you are capable of being rational because we are talking about the security sector.
All right,
if you want to go back to the social media,
yeah,
let's go.
What
I'm giving you, the
well.
Yes, let's. So let us be logical in what we are talking about.
Okay.
And I'm saying to you, you cannot on the one hand denounce the Commissioner General and defend the suggestion that the police are implicated in poaching. And then on the other hand, when there are stories linking others, not to any security issue, but to political issues, to say they are interested in political issues, you say, no, this is a no-go area, don't talk about this. It's not helpful communication. If you are using your official position, and you are not just expressing your own personal opinion, it is very important to be consistent. It is also very important to be guided by the law. And that was the main issue there. And the other part of it, which you wanted to bring in, has to do with what the minister said. Again, what the minister said was neither law nor policy.
Mm-hmm.
He was very clear himself. He said, I am advising you, and I'm talking about the Minister of Information, Comrade Mshowe. He was not threatening, as was his civil servant officer. He was more responsible. He said, listen, guys, I want to advise you.
Yes.
These waters, political waters, are infested, unfortunately, he said, with crocodiles.
Well,
I think that was an unfortunate metaphor.
Why?
Because, you know, these are predators. You know, but it was good in terms of his message. You go there, you are taking a risk, he said. But again, I would rather we do not have these notions that somehow if we engage each other in terms of the law in a responsible way, we respect each other, then there are no-go areas. Because all the structures that human beings create, be they organizations or systems, they are supposed to be for our enjoyment, not for our fear. They are supposed to enhance our lives.
Back to crocodiles in Shona, Vamgabe Ngwena.
Gushungu. He's a real one.
Yes.
He's not his nickname.
Who is the fake one?
No, anyone who is
Vice President is also Ngwena.
No, he's not. I think he's a Shumba.
Oh, is it?
So don't mislead people.
But political most people reasons. Refer to him as Ngwena.
That's their problem. But he is not. That's a nickname. Look, you know, I'm sure you have a dozen nicknames yourself, but it doesn't mean that's your totem.
Yes.
Vamgabe
is the real Ngwena.
Chaiyo. Kushungu. Kwete hizo zoguko tamba mchungota uragoti. Hey, hapa ne hapa mchibati. Ndosa kapasina my stories. And all these people who try and say, hey, Lacoste. Lacoste cannot be Kushungu. Kushungu is Kushungu. Yes.
Yes. Maybe lastly, the war veterans have said they will bar you from Wednesday's Politburo meet. And they are on record saying that will never happen.
No, it will never happen. Look, you know, I was not appointed by anyone calling himself a war veteran, real or fake.
The president is a war veteran?
I was not appointed by anyone calling himself a war veteran, real or fake. I was appointed by His Excellency, the President of the country, and in the case of the Politburo, by the President and First Secretary of the party. You cannot, on the one hand, say you respect him, which is what they are saying, and then on the other hand, say you will bar his appointees from coming to a meeting which he has convened. It's preposterous. It exposes the folly. Nobody is afraid of anybody. I think there are some people who are probably coming out of a long, very long slumber. 36 years is a long time. And they are still of a mentality that is absolutely out of sync with Zimbabwe today. And they think they can invoke things that they failed to invoke over all these years. And maybe they think some of the illustrious colleagues of theirs are no longer with us to tell us what they actually did or did not do. Or they think people have forgotten. Or they even think people are stupid. Zimbabweans are not stupid. Zimbabweans are very decent people. And we respect and glorify real war veterans, and there are many. It doesn't mean that when one is using some or even abusing a newspaper is the only war veteran or the correct war veteran. And fortunately for us, it's not a problem because the patron of the war veterans is our president. And there is
Ambassador Mchango is the chairperson.
The chairperson is a smaller entity compared to the patron. And it is the patron who matters. Not the
chairperson.
No, because the chairperson comes and goes. There can be no doubt about that. And also, I have to be very honest with you, and I am sure this is the sentiment
and
that...
I know you're always honest.
Yes, and I'm sure this is a sentiment that most Zimbabweans have. Zimbabweans are tired of hearing messages of war from the chairman, the current chairman of the war veteran and his secretary general. Every time they come out in the newspapers, they are targeting an individual. They want to fight that individual. They are calling that individual names. Meanwhile, not my business to engage.
But they're on your case.
To be honest with you, if they don't have anything better to do, let them stay on my case for as long as is necessary. Meanwhile, the real game will be going on. It does not cause me a sleepless night. But I think it's a matter of concern. As a Zimbabwean, we think it's wrong for the good name of war veterans to be tarnished, especially 36 years after independence. These are supposed to be mature people, and they are supposed
referring to Machima Dada and Ambassador.
Yes, there's 36 years after. If they were very young at independence, they've gone 36 years since independence. They should show maturity. They should be rational. They should have their feet on the ground, and they should jealously guard the just cause of our liberation. And they must be the first ones to understand that the war of liberation was fought all over the place, but mainly in Zimbabwe. You will be surprised. I think they can let me tell you this. There can be a standard for or a yardstick for measuring real, genuine war veterans mm-hmm. who came to Zimbabwe mm-hmm. and fought Kufrant or Kutupinda Munyika versus Garavari Ikoko. Vakauya kunoko, you know, ukatarisa vana parents shiri. Ukatarisa front. I'm not talking about the political leadership. Right. I'm talking about the Mao veterans. Vanos Bata. You know, you don't have to ask. The dignity comes with the history. So Asiba who were out there, God knows doing what, they will come here and start saying, this one was not a war veteran, this is not a war veteran, this one, and you then know.
But were you on the battlefront, Professor Jonathan?
No. And I've never claimed to be to have done that. And,
where were
and
you
it
during
is
the,
it,
during the war?
I
ran away.
I ran away from Rhodesia.
Because there was war.
Well, because there was oppression.
Radio,
national radio. Don't use national radio to peddle a lie, you know.
But he says he fought.
Tell him which front. Where did he fight?
How do you know? Because you're also not there. I wasn't there.
So. Well, so what are you talking about? All the more reason you should be very careful what you're saying on national radio. But what I want to say to you is that I find it quite fascinating that for many people, when they look at someone like me, they think Professor Jonathan Moyo was Professor Jonathan Moyo in 1976. I don't think even you imagine, but once upon a time I was actually very young.
Yeah, I know.
You know, mm-hmm. and don't use the reality of a mature Professor Jonathan Moyo to assess Mwana Mdiki Jonathan, because Nenuga, I did not just jump from heaven and fall like manna. No, mm-hmm. But what I'm proud of is that I have been associated with the liberation movement from a conscious young age up to today. Kuchikoro kwacho where it is said I went, andina kuenda ndega, and contrary to the fancy new line of a rich uncle paying for my school fees and so forth.
Yeah,
it is ZANU PF, and then you know I was working ku ZANU PF office ku New York, na the late Trevavi Kangai, who was the rep, na Shiruru the late also, and I was actually Secretary Manning's office, yeah.
The New York office.
Yes, and right. That's when I got my scholarship from the African American Institute and a now defunct organ of the United Nations that was called UNEPSA, United Nations Education and Training Program for Southern Africa. And in order to get scholarships from these two organizations at that time, you had to be recommended by a liberation movement. I was sent by ZANU-PF to school in Nini, and I was the commissar of the ZANU-PF branch to Southern California in Nini. And Chairman Wacho was somebody who is still around here. In fact, Wandaga Sangana Nae Kumkagao Kwacho. We ended up together. Msekua Kumbula, Ombo Mtswaga one day. I don't know whether you know him. But listen, there is always a time.
Careful.
Yes, there are stories that are useful to tell, and many stories that are useless to tell.
Professor Jonathan Moyo, what's your relationship with Ambassador Christopher Mchangwa? George Charamba, I know you once worked with him. And Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, because it is claimed in the media that you are plotting against him. You are the mastermind.
You are giving me some news.
No, why it's not news, it's public information.
Tell me more about it. I'm very interested. I'm now all ears, because I'm really hearing this from you in this kind of flesh.
All right. Be that because, as it may, what's the kind of relationship?
I think it is very preposterous to ask me what relationship I have with a member of the national leadership. Because as far as I'm concerned, I have an obligation to respect the leadership as has been appointed by the president. I have an obligation to do that. But that leadership also has an obligation to respect the other leaders and members, because
is
the,
it
well, I think that whether or not there is that mutual respect becomes an empirical question. But what I'm saying is the obligation and responsibility to do that on both sides is there. It is a requirement, and I have no reason not to want to respect anyone. But sometimes I have to be honest with you.
Yes.
When I look at some of the things I get sent, whether to my inbox, DM,
or to Peter, yes,
or that come directly to me in the name of some of my leaders, but more so, when I look at what comes out in the newspapers, especially the Herald, over the last 2 weeks, I get disappointed when the leaders on whose names these things are being done keep quiet.
Because what are they supposed to do?
They're supposed to stop it. Of course. This is what an elder in an African society is supposed to do. You cannot let lunatics run away with our moral fabric.
Have you engaged those so-called leaders?
I don't know why.
That?
You keep asking this question, yes. Have you engaged? I am not a prophet to engage people. I am a human being like anyone else. Mm-hmm. And responsibility is not instructed. It is exercised. So you can't ask me each time there is an issue, why don't you go and engage that, go and engage
no,
this one, as if I'm a pastor.
No,
I'm not a pastor.
But this all, is your, all I, these you, are your leaders, you ask whom you are saying.
No, you see, I cannot go to a person and say, why are you not doing this for me? I think that leadership is more of a disposition. It's not a position. It is how you relate to others. It is how you make it easy for everyone to want to come to you, to come and access you, seek your guidance, seek your counsel. That's what leadership, and that happens not because you hold a hierarchical position, but it happens because of the way you carry yourself, and that is called disposition. Mm-hmm. And I am saying, it would be very nice for our elders to put order when some lunatics jump around pretending to be doing things for them or in their name. People should know that it does not pay to do that. Mm-hmm. It is not necessary. In an African society, that is the nature of being elderly. Yes, it is. And so when I see a lot of things coming out that are really, really outrageous, and there's a palpable lack of wise counsel, I say, but this is not African society. This is something else. That is worse than the abuse of Twitter. Because that is a global platform, and we cannot do much about it. But we can do a whole lot about our everyday interactions, relationships as a community, as people who have reason to relate to one another in our party, in the government, and in our country.
Professor Mwere, thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome.